Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. What an afternoon this has been. We continue to get you ready for the big game tonight in Knoxville. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Yesterday, of course, we had Dawn Staley on and Kelly Harper from Tennessee getting ready for the UConn game. We've also commemorated the 40th anniversary today. 40 years ago today, Paul Bryant passed away at Druid City Hospital in Tuscaloosa. We just heard from one of his former players who called us from South Alabama. Eddie Conyers joined us earlier, one of Coach Bryant's close friends, the 94-year-old who has been officiating Alabama practices for about 60 years, give or take. Keith Donovan joining us in a couple of minutes, the noted historian, author and documentarian of Coach Bryant as well. Let's check in with Dan in Houston. Good afternoon to you. Dan, you there?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, good afternoon.
Roll Tide, man.
Thank you.
What an honor to get to speak to Mr. Feinbaum.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
I wanted to say about Russ Wood.
Yes, sure.
What an honor.
Well, yeah, Russ. Russ has called us. I bet Russ has. I haven't been doing this that long, but I bet Russ has called us now 15, 20 years in a row on the day. He called a minute ago. I was interviewing him when we both former Alabama All-American when we heard the news that Coach Bryant had passed away. Bob is next in Florida. Hey, Bob. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
My mom was personal friends with the Bear, and I had a chance to meet him a couple of times as a kid. And a huge fan, as anyone would think. And in fact, when I met you one time, I think I even showed you that I had a tattoo of the Bear on my leg. And I don't know if you remember that
But by the way, Bob, there are not many people. There are a lot of Bryants. Everyone from dogs to children have been named after Bear Bryant. But I think you're the only one who has shown me your leg.
The reason I'm calling is, are you familiar with, he was a lineman in the 60s, Steve Wright?
Yes, I know who he is.
He became an All-American and right. Then went on to play with the Green Bay Packers in their Super Bowl teams. Well, anyway, I was reading his book one time, as a youngster again, and I heard you talking about nobody saying anything bad about him. Well, Steve Wright, I think he was, if I remember right, he was a starter as a sophomore, and then as a junior, something happened and he quit the team. And the Bear let him come back on the team, and then he became an All-American and all everything. And when he wrote his book after he was done playing with Green Bay, he did have a few bad things to say about Bear. I don't remember what it was, but, the book was I'd Rather Be Right. And I can't remember what he did say, but he did say, and I was crushed when I read it. And but he was the only one that I ever heard say anything bad about the Bear, but somebody did say something bad about him, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that. I will go back and check that. Paul is up next in Alabama. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, just today and everything, I just want to tell you, I've listened to your show for years. Love the callers you got calling in. But no, I just want to tell you a little quick story. When I was a little boy, my mother wrote Coach Bryant. I asked him if he would send an autographed picture, told him that they had named me after him. And he wrote her back. I wish I had these letters today, but he did write her back, said, "Miss Bryant, if you send me a picture of your son, I will send you a picture of me. I collect all these kids' pictures. I got them on bulletin boards in my office." Anyway, so she sent him the little old school picture of me, and he sent her a 10x12 autographed picture.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, in the fall of 1 year now, she wrote him again and asked him, "I know this is asking a lot, Coach, but I would love to give my husband an autographed football for Christmas." So he wrote her back and described the ball she needed to send. It's a Spalding ball. Half of it's white, of course. The other half is brown. And she sent him that ball, and he signed it with a black magic marker. Of course, Paul Bear Bryant under the lace. Then he got the entire team to sign that ball with a blue
ink. That is amazing.
And actually, on January 1st, that's the team that beat Penn State in the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, real quick, one of the worst ass whippings me and my brother ever got. My daddy come home from work one day, and we were throwing that ball in the living room. And from that day on, that ball got put into a glass box, and to this day, it is still at my parents' house in that glass box.
I bet it is. Paul, thank you for sharing. It's so hard to believe. I'll never forget talking to Coach Bryant's receptionist, and he would literally answer the mail. And to prove that, I don't remember. I'd say this has been 25, 30 years. Joe Paterno wrote a book, and for some reason he agreed to come on our radio show. We were just a local show, but he came on. He was trying to promote the book. So I wrote him, it was just like a handwritten letter on the newspaper or the radio station stationery. "Hey, thanks, Coach, very much." I was just being polite. He wrote me back, but you know what he wrote me back on? Did he write me back on Penn State stationery?
No.
Something that I could have framed? He wrote me back on the same note that I sent him. That's an old school coach like he and Bryant were, that he wasn't going to waste a bit of stationery on some guy in Alabama. He could use my support after he got fired. Let's check in with Colin in Birmingham. Hello, Colin.
Oh, Ms. Freimont, am I on the show?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Hi. I'm putting the speaker. Sorry, I completely forgot I was even in the queue. I've just been sitting here listening to the show, enjoying it.
Thank you.
Be honest, I completely forgot what I was going to talk about. I'm sure it was something brilliant and game-changing, but it has just slipped out of my mind, so I'm just going to spitball here. Paul, I got one question, just one question to ask you. Before I ask that question, though, I do want to preface it with a little bit. So to make a long story short, Paul, I was born in Ogden, Utah, in January of 1991. Now, I was conceived in Texas, but my dad was in the Air Force, so we moved. Now, from Utah, we moved to England, and we were there for a few years. Now, Paul, I'm going to go ahead and cut myself off right here. Why is it that when every time someone says, "long story short," they continue on to tell the longest story ever told? I'll hang up and listen.
Colin, there's a reason for that, and public speaking is something that almost none of us are good at. And whether it's speaking to a group, whether it's talking to a doctor, whether it's answering a call, and we tend to have the most difficult time editing ourselves. And that includes many talk show hosts.
Well, not yourself, Paul.
No.
No.
Of course
no,
not.
Absolutely not.
No, I find myself, you're talking to somebody, and next thing you know, you're almost like there's an alarm going off, like shut up already. Now, I have it easy, though, because everything I do on this show, I have people in my ear telling me to be quiet. Hey,
well,
break coming up. In fact, there's a guy telling me right now, go to a break.
Yes, absolutely. Great timing, Paul. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
And that's only to save your call. We will be back with Keith. Did he was on hold for an hour and a half, and he had to spitball it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back on this 40th anniversary of Coach Bryant's death. I can think of no one better to speak about this subject than our next guest, who is Keith Donovan, who grew up in the state, worked for many local and state newspapers, working his way up to the New York Times. He's written a number of books, including one of the perhaps the definitive biography of Paul Bryant. He also has worked on a number of films, including one on Bryant. Keith Donovan joins us on this day. Keith, it seems like we've been together a lot on these anniversaries. I remember you joining us about 10 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago. I can't remember which one it was. But it does, this subject continues to be alive today, and I think we all would be curious for you to opine on how this could be 40 years later. We're still talking about this man.
Could it really be 40 years, Paul? I mean, you and I have known each other for almost 40 years. It's just, it's hard to believe it's been so long. But I think that, can you imagine us talking 40 years later about, you know, really hardly any other coach, right? It's almost unimaginable. But Bryant had that hold on college football, on the state of Alabama. He meant that much to the sport and to the culture that he just sticks around, and he people don't want to let go of him because he represented so much to the culture.
It really is. I just heard from a friend who told me that there are at least 600 people who have registered at the Bryant Museum in Tuscaloosa alone who have been named after him. And you and I know there's probably tens of thousands, if not more. We just heard from somebody. And I, not to take anything away from any other figure in the history of college football, but what was it about him, Keith? You've written books about him. You've done films. What was it about him that made him such an everyman to so many people?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. I think back about what John McKay, the great John McKay, was one of the top 10 or 15 coaches in the history of college football, was one of his best friends, of course, at Southern Cal. As John McKay simply said one time, he said he was not a coach. He was the coach. This is one of his peers who said that. For the state of Alabama, and it's hard to, if you're under, let's say, the age of 40, it's hard to imagine what he meant to the culture growing up, for those of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s. When Alabama had an inferiority complex because of all the stuff in the 60s, all the other stuff, just being a poor Southern state. And this man comes along, and he becomes the definitive, he becomes the antidote to Alabama's inferiority complex. And he was also the greatest football coach who ever lived. So those two things at the same time, playing off of each other. The anniversary that we're talking about today, which, of course, I remember I was a senior in high school and I was a working journalist, and it was a shocking day. It was it's hard to even think back about it and not kind of get choked up about it all these years later, because you understood the, if you lived through that time, you appreciated the fact that to so many people in the culture, he was more than a football coach. And I know that sounds, to people who weren't around at the time, they may think that's a cliche. I don't deal with cliches. I'm talking about from a historical standpoint. Bryant represented so many things, and that made him such a cultural touchstone. You know, when you spend a quarter century holding on to someone, the idea of someone, and that idea makes you stand taller and feel better about your little place in the world, it's hard to let go. And that's where we were 40 years ago today.
And Keith, to me, one of the great tributes is that to this day, and we're going to speak to a few of them next week, two of his most famous players, but those who played for him still talk about him 60 years later with the same reverence. They're almost, I referenced a Pat Dye story earlier. I mean, it's like we're all still in, these people are all still in fear that he's going to strike them if they dare think ill of him. Not that they would, but you've spoken to so many of his former players. What is it about that relationship that continues to live on?
Well, here's the thing. And particularly speaking about the Alabama era. Now, earlier in his career, Coach Bryant was still working out how to become a coach, and, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. But when he matured as a coach, if you stayed at Alabama for 4 years, I don't know anybody, and I know hundreds of Alabama players, I don't know anybody who played for him for 4 years that does not revere him. Now, that's a remarkable thing to say. You and I have both been in this business for a long time. You know, we're both have a little cynicism to us. That's a remarkable statement that I just made. The to a man. Now, there are plenty of them who hated him at the time, and they'll tell you that. They hated him as a freshman when they had to go through mat room classes. But what he was teaching them was football, but it was beyond football. He gave them this precious gift that set the tone for the rest of their lives if they were smart enough to take it. And so that's why they revere him.
And Keith, I saw it firsthand about a year ago, being the host of an event where the legacy continued on with one of his former players' daughters getting up, and now a prominent lawyer, talking about the scholarship fund that he left for his former players. I mean, he wasn't just thinking about the present. It wasn't like today when it's all about the things that are currently going on. I mean, he was very concerned, even in his late 60s, about the legacy that would be left behind, forget him, for his players and their children.
one of the former players told me one time about the, and you're right, the scholarship program is just one of the most remarkable things. He, basically, if you played for Alabama for Coach Bryant, your son or daughter got to attend the University of Alabama for free. Now, that was a remarkable thing at the time, and to this day. One of my players, one of the former players who coached for Ray Perkins and was a teammate of Ray Perkins, told me one time, he said, you know, he went to see Ray when he was working for him, and he said, you know, I'm making a good living. You know, I can afford to send my daughter to college. And Ray, to his credit, said, that's not the point. Coach Bryant wanted to do this for you. And that's what it was all about.
Keith, there's just not enough time left this week to try to compare and contrast what was going on then to what is going on now in college football. But, you know, we've talked to you about the comparisons between Nick Saban and Coach Bryant. But I think of all the remarkable aspects of this anniversary, the fact that Alabama still has sitting not too far from where Coach Bryant used to sit, the man that is considered now the greatest coach in college football history. I mean that is bewildering in and of itself.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't have conceived of that 15, 20 years ago, right? It was almost unthinkable, particularly given the anxiety that Alabama went through for so many years. But Alabama has been extremely fortunate. Saban has done a tremendous job. I mean, it's the greatest, certainly the greatest run of this of its kind in college football history. No doubt about that. You know, the comparison between Bryant and Saban. You know, I'll save that for another day. That's complicated, and I really don't think it's fair until Saban retires. But you know, records are made to be broken. A lot of Coach Bryant's records have been broken. You know, that's the way of the world. I think the larger point is that no one will ever mean to people of no one will ever mean more than Coach Bryant meant to people of Alabama, and maybe just as much, but not any more. In other words, it's just hard to overstate the connection that he had to Alabama people when they desperately needed somebody like that.
And Keith, I think that's the most profound thing that you've said, and you've said so many things. By the way, back to the scholarship thing, I believe that was something that Coach Bryant set up. It wasn't the university didn't pay that. He set it up. That was him.
He set it up. No, that was something he did with his money, and Paul Jr. has added to it
because
they've had to add to it.
Sure.
Yes.
That's probably the most remarkable aspect of that. But finally, and again, we'll have plenty of time to discuss Saban and Bryant collectively. But you know, Nick Saban took over Alabama at a time when the program was down, but things were going pretty well in the state. I think your point about that moment in time is so significant as we close here with Keith Donovan. The fact that Alabama was a bad place, it was battered, and he gave people something to hang their hat on.
He absolutely did. He was the, as I've said in the past, he was the antidote to Alabama's inferiority complex. And you can't chart that, you can't graph it, but I'm telling you, it was real. I lived through it. It was something that you felt on the day that he died 40 years ago.
Keith Donovan, reflecting brilliantly, I might add, on this moment in history, which I'm sure a lot of you are wondering about why. I think Keith explained eloquently why we're still talking about it these many years later. We head to the break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base.
How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are continuing, and Tom is up next. Hello, Tom. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
This is a story about my brother and Pat Trammell, who obviously is a legend. You know,
absolutely.
He was a Bears favorite, whatever. Always will be. Always was be.
He was.
And my brother, he was a year younger than Pat, and my brother played guard. And this is 1959. And when he graduated high school, whatever, 1958. And so Pat was a bad dude, you know, on the weekends, okay? When Pat was... And Pat, you know, got around town. He'd get in his truck, his Ford truck, and he'd have a half a gallon of Jack Daniels, and he would drive around town. This is in Scottsboro, where I'm from, okay? That's where Pat was from.
Mm-hmm.
And he would drive around town, and he would look for fights. And that's what his goal was on every Saturday night, was to, you know, drink till you couldn't drink anymore, and you know, look for somebody to, you know, that wanted to fist fight with him. And he called up my brother one night, Larry, and you know, they were stalking each other down, and my brother backed him down. He said, "No, so you don't want this, Pat," you know. So anyway, my brother's that's a, you know. I mean, that's hearsay, whatever, but anyway, that's what, you know, I've been told, you know, that whatever happened, you know. But Pat was he's a bad dude, you know. He would take his younger brother, they would live, his dad was a doctor, and where they lived in Scottsboro, he would go outside, he would get on top of the roof and take a not a 5 gallon bucket, but like a plant, and his younger brother, I can't remember his name, and his younger brother would walk out the front door and he'd drop that plant right on top of his head. Yeah. Mm.
I was friends with Pat's son, but obviously I never knew Pat, but I've never heard any of it. Pat became a doctor too, didn't he, before he passed away?
He did, yeah, he did. He was a doctor before he, you know, got died of cancer, absolutely. Yeah, he was. But he's still revered in Scottsboro, where I'm from, you know, and obviously the stadium's named after him, and, you know, he's but that was, you know, he was a dude.
I've heard about Pat my whole life. I've never heard that story. That's remarkable. I always had this image of him being a choir boy, and you've told me something I never heard before. Hey, thank you. I'm not sure I wanted to hear it. I always wanted to remember the guy in another way. Let's check out Buddy in Alabama. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call today, buddy.
Thank you.
I had the good pleasure to be personal friends and go to church with Captain Robert Miller, retired Alabama State Trooper, and he was Coach Bryant's personal bodyguard from 1969 to 1980. And Captain Miller used to share stories with me all the time about Coach Bryant. And, of course, Captain Miller had been in Montgomery during the Selma to Montgomery March and all the civil rights stuff. And he would relate how that taking Coach Bryant around. Coach Bryant, he said, transcended everything that was wrong in Alabama. And how that, you know, people, when he would be escorting the coach, said that when Coach Bryant would show up anywhere, it was just like bringing the president or a king in. Said that's how revered he was in the state of Alabama. And he talked about the effect that he had on people in general and just how much he was regarded in the state. And he shared one story with me, and it was always very interesting, the story he shared with me. He said one night we were walking out on Legion Field to begin the 1975 season, and it was a game against Alabama's playing Missouri.
Right.
He said, I was taking him out on the field, and he said, I looked at Coach Bryant and said, Coach, boy, sure do look good tonight. Said he looked over at me, and he said, nah, Captain. He said, they need a couple weeks. They ain't where they need to be. He said, well, in all my wisdom, I told him, well, Coach, I'll tell you what, they going to tear Missouri up. They're going to have a good ball game.
I know what happened.
Well, they went ahead and got beat by Missouri. I think it was something like 20-7 that night.
Right.
He said, we were walking back off the field after the game. Said, I looked at him and said, well, Coach, I reckon he's right about him not being ready. And he said, Coach Bryant turned around, looked me in the eyes, put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, yeah, Captain, that's why you're a GD policeman, not a football coach.
That is pretty amazing. That was considered one of the bigger upsets of the Bryant era.
Yeah, just the stories Captain Miller would share, you know, about his personal time with Coach Bryant, but absolutely said that he transcended everything political, religious, everything, you know, that was going on in Alabama. He was above all that, and said his treatment of people is what stood out so much.
Well, the thing about that I've heard too is that, you know, he had a zest for life. And I know people, I mean, it's easy to joke about all of his vices, but you know, it wasn't, you know, today's coaches are just so different. You know, they want to avoid the limelight because, I mean, Coach Bryant, I mean, he was famous for going out. He liked to go out. He liked to go to restaurants with his friends and party.
And then myself, like so many others, I was working off Graymont Avenue downtown, you know where I'm talking about. And walked from my place of work. I walked up and stood on the side of Interstate 65 when the funeral procession come by, as thousands of others did. And in my possession, I've got a picture. I took an old Polaroid picture of the hearse as it passed by in front of me, carried him to Elmwood Cemetery. So,
you know, buddy, I was obviously at the back of that procession, so I didn't see this, but there was someone. I've seen a picture of that day that there was a shot as they were going into Elmwood. I don't know how they did it, but somehow Legion Field was in the background, which is pretty remarkable. I guess you could have seen it from down there, couldn't you?
Well,
we've been hard. But
the best access point, I know the picture you're speaking of, and it's just before you get to the junction, just about where you turn south onto 65. You can look right in the background right there, and you could see Legion Field prominently at that time from 65. Yes. Yeah.
No, I tell you, my memory of that funeral was, and I remember describing it. Nobody remembers this movie now, but I remember writing it. It was like a scene out of Apocalypse Now, which is a movie about Vietnam. There were at least 10 helicopters. It was quite irritating, by the way. There were probably two or three police helicopters, but most of them were local TV stations. And it took a while to get them out of the sky because you literally couldn't hear the beginning of the service.
Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely amazing that you had people literally lying from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham along the interstate the whole way, as you know, you were in it. So, absolutely amazing.
Thank you very much.
And another thing, Paul, I want to thank you for your time here in Birmingham writing for the Post-Herald. Because I tell you what, man, I couldn't wait till your column came out. And as I may have told you last week, the final day for print newspaper in Birmingham is February 26.
Yeah, so, that I was talking to somebody about that the other. That is just it's incredibly sad to think about, but it's not shocking.
And it is.
No, I mean, I mean, everything I'm saying today about this moment is because of being a writer and reporting every word and consuming it. I still have a couple of copies of it at home. I should have brought it in today. We have a compilation of all the articles we did on his retirement and last game and death. Right. And I've seen quite a bit since then. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything in my life.
Absolutely. Paul, thank you so much
for
your time today.
What a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much. We'll continue this conversation. I did not expect this to go as long as it did, but this is a momentous milestone, and I appreciate all of you for participating. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We've heard from so many memorable people this afternoon. We heard from Eddie Conyers earlier, some former Coach Bryant players. One of someone who was very close to Coach Bryant, and I mentioned earlier, may have been one of the last people to speak to him, is Jerry Duncan, and also one of the great people I've ever known. Jerry, good afternoon. How are you?
Paul, how in the world are you?
It is fantastic. I hope I didn't out you a minute ago when I mentioned that, and I'm pretty sure I have the story right. Maybe I don't. That you talked to Coach Bryant not far from when he passed away.
Well, actually, yes, we had done some business that afternoon, and then Coach Bryant went over to another friend of his house and actually had the attack, and where they took him to DCH, but. My one of the things, Paul, that's kind of funny about this is my oldest son, who's 50 years old today.
That's hard to believe, by the way.
on his birthday, and Luke, and my so that means Evans would have been 10, and now has worked for the past 25 years for Mark Tyson, who was Coach Bryant's grandson.
And oh, that is amazing.
My oldest son is named Luke Bryant Duncan, so kind of stays pretty close to the Bryant family.
No, well, listen, I know you won't attest to it, but I've talked to too many people close to Coach Bryant, and I know he did. He only said he had one favorite player, that was Pat Trammell. But if he had a top 10 list, you were pretty high up on it, Jerry.
Well, he meant the world to me. He was a tough guy to play for. I can tell you that. And but it was a it was a lot of fun and a lot of great memories. Played on some great teams and played with some great coaches. And one of my favorite coaches that actually didn't play for Coach Bryant, but coached under him was Pat Dye, who went on to be a great coach down at Auburn. So just a lot of things, trying to connect the dots with. But Coach Bryant was such a magnificent person and did so much for me and my family. And I had three children that, graduated from Alabama on the Paul Bryant Scholarship. And, it just can, Paul, it's things like this can just go on and on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Jerry, I think that's one of the most remarkable things, and we alluded to it, and I was at this event last December or whenever it was, and the Bryant Scholarship, one of the recipients is now a very prominent lawyer. You've heard a million stories like that. That to me is one of the greatest testaments to his legacy, is that he instituted that. And I know you played a big role in helping, as many others have as well.
Well, it was just a great honor to have been there at the time. And then, of course, all those great teams that we had in the 60s, the 64 and the 65 teams that won the national championships, and then the great team that we had there in 66 that didn't. That came up short on winning the national championship because they wanted to, they couldn't stand for Coach Bryant to have three in a row, I guess. So it was, but it was quite a time, Paul, and just being on the sidelines with Coach Bryant for all those years and working with John Forney and you know, Doug Layton for all those years. I don't know. It's hard to really, you know, there's so much to talk about when things like this. So it's, but it's just been a fun ride.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate you mentioning that because we had Keith Donovan on earlier who wrote The Missing Ring, which was about that. By the way, that 66 team that didn't win the national championship, undefeated. And the team that won had a tie. That's how insane it was. Jerry, I can't tell you what it means to connect with you. I saw you about a year or two ago, and I miss seeing you. I used to see you all the time, and you're one of the special people that I've ever met.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Paul, and I appreciate everything you do. It's I don't get to listen to you all the time like I normally do, but today's been a busy day. But I'm sure I'm glad you had all these people calling in about Coach Bryant because he was the Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's all
indeed.
I can say about Coach Bryant. But anyway, thank you so much.
Jerry, you be well. Thank you so much. Jerry Duncan, reflecting back on this day 40 years ago. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.